Hello and welcome to Two Peds in a Pod, the medical education podcast from the Children's Emergency Department in Derby. My name's Ian Lewins, one of the consultants here, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Dr. Julie Mott. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Ian.
And Julie's one of my ED consultant colleagues, but you're also the name doctor.
I'm the name doctor for safeguarding children, yes.
Let's start with that, because we're going to talk about child protection today, and hopefully we'll do a series of podcasts. But just thinking, what does it mean to be the named doctor?
So it's a statutory requirement that all NHS trusts have a named doctor for safeguarding children. So I am here to advise colleagues on safeguarding. I also sit on various meetings such as Trust Safeguarding Committee. There's named professionals committees for the local area as well.
Okay, so we're going to talk about a bit about child protection, and there are different, we sort of categorise child protection in different groups, sort of fairly arbitrarily, but what are those groups?
So traditionally, I think there's always been seen there's four categories of child abuse. So you've got physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect and emotional abuse, but that each of those categories can cover many, many forms. So, for example, emotional abuse could cover domestic violence, it could cover FII, but that could also be, which is fabricated or induced illness, but that could also be physical abuse, depending on the form of it. And obviously sexual abuse now covers child sexual exploitation, which has become an increasing problem over the last few years.
Okay. So there's sort of, is it a slightly old-fashioned way of thinking?
I think so. Right. I think we just have to look at the impact, because that's, no matter what the abuse is, you need to look at the impact on the child. So it doesn't really matter what category it necessarily falls in. It's how that it's affecting that specific child and what daily life is like for that child.
Okay. So having said that those categories aren't dreadfully useful, let's look at one category, which is, so I thought that we'd start with maybe physical, because I guess whilst, you know, you would often see an overlap, often people fall into several categories. Maybe physical is the one that people working in the emergency department are most likely to encounter.
Yes, I think in acute paediatrics, you're probably right that the injuries and the physical abuse is what we see most commonly.
Okay, so let's have a think then. We obviously see lots and lots of children with injuries.
We see lots of children with injuries, yes.
What are the things that if you're seeing a child that just sort of makes you think, I wonder.
This doesn't quite seem right.
Yeah.
So one thing would be if there is a significant injury and there's a delay in presentation.
Okay.
Because, you know, if it's a minor injury, we know lots of minor injuries present after a few days because parents just say, oh, well, just give them some painkillers and see what happens. But if they've got a significant injury that's delayed, you wonder why the parents haven't brought this to medical attention before. If the story just doesn't fit with what you're seeing. So again, if it's a significant injury and their parents are telling you they just tripped over. Or if you've got a young baby who parents have said they've fallen or rolled off something, when you know that developmentally that baby can't do that. So unexplained injuries in non-mobile children are very, very rare. We think there's probably less than 1% of non-mobile children will get an accidental injury, so you really need to be suspicious. There is the saying, if you don't cruise, you don't bruise.
Yeah.
So any non-mobile child with a bruise, you're going to be very suspicious. And that's actually probably what we see most of when we look at our safeguarding medicals for injuries. It tends to be in the non-mobile children.
Okay. And that's where, I guess, taking developmental history
is really important. And also observing the child. If parents say the child can roll, watch the child and see if they can.
Yeah, I think watching is really important, as you sort of say. I've certainly encountered babies with sucking injuries.
Yes.
Where they've got sort of a bruise on the arm, and parents have said, look, it's because they suck. And you think, well, that seems a bit of an odd injury. This is a child with a bruise. And lo and behold, the child then sits and sucks right over the bruise.
Yes.
And you think, okay, maybe that's, okay, fine. So is there a delay? Does it fit? Are there sort of types of injuries that you would...
So I think when you look at injuries, there's probably three broad types. So you've got your bruises, you've got your fractures, and you've got your burns.
Yeah.
Bruises are probably what we see most. And children bruise in... We know that children bruise in areas commonly. So, for example, foreheads, the children that fall over in the playground, foreheads, noses and chins on the face, and knees and shins. You know, if you've got a toddler who hasn't got a lots of bruises on their shins. They're probably not a normal mobile toddler. So bruises outside of these areas. So bruises that are over soft, non-bony areas. Bruises that are outside of the T-zone, as we described, on the face, over the cheeks and the ears, are really suspicious.
Okay. So they're sort of grabbing, pinching type injuries.
Yeah, bruises on the cheeks, you think people have grabbed them. Bruises on torsos, again, children don't tend to fall over. They tend to injure their heads and their limbs.
Okay. So that's sort of, so bruises in sort of non-bony places, in funny places, should make you think, is there something else going on here? Okay. So fractures, what sort of fracture should we be concerned about?
So children tend to fall and fracture their limbs, really. They're the ones we see, you know, we see them commonly in the emergency department. Areas that children don't fracture, so children don't really fracture their ribs unless they've been involved in really high force, for example, road traffic accidents. So rib fractures are physical abuse until proven otherwise. Multiple fractures is suspicious as well. So all children where we have an unexplained injury will have a skeletal survey, which is an X-ray, X-raying every bone in the body, looking for occult fractures and previous fractures. So that would be really suspicious if we then did a skeletal survey and found old fractures or multiple multiple fractures.
Okay.
Other things are metaphyseal fractures. So children tend to break the long bit of the bone, not the end of the bone. So again, if a radiologist saw a metaphyseal fracture, they would be really suspicious and they'd be on the phone saying, I think this is physical abuse.
Okay. So that's fractures, that's bruises, burns.
Burns. What else? So the common burns we see are your typical child pulling the cup of tea off the coffee table. So a scald to the chest, neck, lower face is very common. We also see grabbing burns. So when children have touched the oven, picked up mum's hair straighteners. Yes. So they're the common burns. Burns outside of these areas are unusual. Again, burns to the face and ears would be very unusual.
Yeah.
Burns to the back of the hand. Children explore the world with their palms of their hands. They don't tend to get burns to the back of their hand. Typically, glove and stocking distribution of burns. So when a child's been held in hot water, with that as well, you often get burns to the buttocks if a child's been held in hot water, but you get sparing of the centre of the buttocks, the so-called donut sign, because the middle of the buttocks would be in contact with the cold base of the bath. So it's just surrounding burns.
Okay. So there's sort of lots of types of injury, delay in presentation, sort of inconsistent story or story that doesn't quite fit with what you're seeing. Okay. So there's lots of sort of things for us to look out for. Now, if I, as the F2 or SHO in ED, see this and I'm concerned, what course of action would you recommend?
The immediate action is speaking to the senior on duty, whether that's your registrar or consultant, and they need to review the patient. If they are suspicious, then we would escalate to the paediatric team and to social care, so that a full child protection medical and further investigations could be carried out. So, for example, in the case of lots of bruising, we might want to do a full blood count, we might want to do clotting, just to rule out a medical cause. Because it does happen, we see children with multiple bruises that you're suspicious of, but then you do a full blood count and they've got ITP or they've got a clotting disorder. For fractures, again, we'd be wanting, unexplained injuries, we'd be wanting to do skeletal surveys to make sure there's no other fractures. So yeah, social care and escalate to the paediatric team for a full child protection medical.
Okay,
would be the way
and,
to go.
And that's sort of when you sort of are saying escalate to social care, you're wanting them to come in.
Yes, so you wanted to refer to social care, because then they can start doing their background checks.
Yeah.
On the family.
Okay, and I guess also then important when you're taking your history, as well as, you know, the history of the injury and the developmental histories, take a family history and a social history. Mm. Because are there other children at home?
Yes. So if you've got an injury in one child, then you need to start looking at the rest of the family, especially if there's a much younger sibling.
Mm.
In our general guidance is that if you have a child with an injury, then all the other children in the family, especially the younger ones, should also be be examined for looking for injuries.
Okay. And then that's sort of sitting down with a social worker and somebody who's got training in child protection medicals to come and do, and they'll go through the body map and the history and all those
and
sorts
look
of
at all injuries,
bits and pieces.
Take a full social history.
And then there's a discussion, obviously policies vary between different units, but locally we would then have a discussion with whoever's the consultant on call. If there was sort of, I'm not sure, is that where you come in? Is that
So then again, that's for advice, a second opinion. You'd be asking, social care to look into background. Has there been previous concerns? Have we seen this child previously with other injuries? Because again, that would all increase your worry and concern about this child.
And I guess one of the key points that's sort of arisen from tragic cases is this idea of the jigsaw and making sure that we have one piece of the jigsaw, which is this injury.
We need to share that and find out what other agencies know about this family. And it's only when you've got all the pieces of information that you can make an informed decision about what's safe for this child.
And trainees will often sort of hear of this sort of discussion of the keywords, things like strategy meetings and section 17s and section 47s. What are those things? What's a strategy meeting then?
So here in Derbyshire, any child that has been admitted with any child protection concerns will have a strategy meeting before they're discharged. That's what the local safeguarding policies say. So that involves the medical team, social care, if it's a young child, the health visitor maybe, if it's an older child, school nurse, the police, all coming in, sitting round a table, and again sharing our information about what we know and coming up with a safe discharge plan for this child. So no child in this hospital should be discharged without a strategy meeting if there's been any child protection concerns. The different sections refer to the Children's Act. So a section 17 is what is commonly known as a child in need plan. So the child wouldn't be on a child protection plan, they'd be on a child in need plan, with the social workers and social care putting more support into this family. The section 47 is your child protection plan. So any child with an unexplained injury, social care will start a Section 47 inquiry, and that's when they're assessing all the data, maybe doing parenting assessments. Yep. While all that's happening, depending on the perceived risk to the child may stay with the family while that's happening. It may stay with another member of the family, or another member of the family may come into the house to supervise, or in extreme cases, this child may be taken into local authority care. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess important, I think sometimes some people who are fairly new to this might feel uncomfortable or uneasy about sort of letting parents know what's going on. Would you say it's sort of really important just from the outset to be very upfront and say, I am worried about this injury and I need to speak to somebody else? Yeah. Or would you do it behind the back?
No,
almost?
A good way is to say this is, especially with babies, it's a very unusual injury. We need to look closely at this, and most parents know, they've seen the news, they've heard of Victoria Columbiae, they've heard of baby P, they know that what can happen when things aren't picked up, so they're usually quite happy for us to say, look, we need to look at this further, we need to get social care involved, we need to do further investigations. We're not accusing you at this moment of hurting your child, but we just need to look a bit closely because it is an unusual injury that your child's got.
And I think one source of really useful help that maybe gets a little bit overlooked are maybe the paramedics or first responders to these, because often they will have seen the house.
They've seen the home.
And think, hang on, there's something wrong. Can a paramedic refer to social care?
Anyone can refer, any professional can refer to social care. And we see that a lot when the paramedics refer to social care, because social care will then often phone us in the department saying, oh, we've got this referral, what's happening, and we can say, actually, it's fine, we're happy with the injury, or we say, actually, no, we're worried, we are taking this further.
Okay. So important to be upfront, important to be honest, important to sort of get a multi-agency approach to these sorts of things.
And parents should be aware that you're referring to social care, you shouldn't really refer. There's a few special situations, but in general, if you're referring to social care, you should tell parents you're referring to social care.
And I guess, in my experience, a lot of parents kind of expect it.
yes.
are not surprised.
No.
And I guess if you don't, they'd almost be surprised. Mm. And, you know, I think most people, as you say, most people are familiar with social care and the need to do these things. Yes. And often I sort of say, well, as you say, I'm not accusing you, but I have
We just need concern. To look a bit further
and it's,
into this.
It's part of the standard procedure that I would follow for any child. Yeah. I'm not picking
so we
on
have
you.
Leaflets that we give to parents and say, look, this is just what happens when we see these injuries. And parents are usually quite happy that if it's a standard, normal thing to happen, they're happy for it to happen.
Yeah. Great stuff. The last sort of comment I'd have, that having been sort of meetings with different professionals, one of the things I've heard a few times is, oh, you paediatricians, you just look for child protection everywhere. You're always looking for it. You're sort of obsessed by it. What would you say to that?
I think, although people don't want to think about it, parents do harm their children. And if we don't think of that as a possibility, we're never going to recognise it when it does happen. So I think always having that thing at the back of your mind, does this story fit? Could this be an inflicted, non-accidental injury? Then you're not going to miss the ones that are.
Yeah. So, you know, better to be safe and wrong than think, well, maybe, and I'll leave it. So I guess the advice to sort of somebody new to this is, if you've got any concerns,
speak to your seniors.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.